Hello, folks. How are you? Great to be here. Thanks a lot, Pete. I'd like to give Mr. Redman here, that's Pete, and his wife, Rosie, there a hand. And everybody else, Nikki, and all of the folks. Ronnie. Oh, Ronnie. Yeah, not that Ronnie. Yeah. Yeah, Ronnie, not him. I was like, Ronnie, what? Oh, man, we don't want to go there. We don't want to go there. Ronnie? The group. Yeah, there are only two of this whole group. If you want to mention their names, I can do it for you. I'm still amazed at this place. I really am. And Pete's been on my case about precious metals. I don't have any, you know. Grant? Yeah, so I'd like to thank all you guys. I walk around here and I'm looking, and this is a beautiful work you guys have done. Still, I've been here a number of times, but, I have a building of my own. I know what it takes to upkeep it. It's nothing like this. And, I know about colors and a little bit and how calming, they actually put calming colors in here. And then scriptures on a 20-foot wall, whatever that is, I don't see that too much. Dispensationally correct scriptures on walls like this, I don't see that at all. So, I'm really thankful for being here, and I'm thankful and honored and privileged to be speaking about the Word of God. I thank Ivan for his message. Very excellent message. I really felt good listening to it, especially when he's talking about what we deserve, what we all deserve, and the mercy that the Lord has upon all of us today, and what we deserve death. And I was just thinking to myself, man, I love that guy, even if he is an engineer. like you said, I didn't do this, I became an engineer, and he felt good about that. But I know engineers, there's one there laughing, there's one there kind of scrunching in his chair, and well, yeah. So at any rate, I thank you for that, sir. That was great. It's really a pleasure to listen to you folks, to you guys. What I'm going to speak about today, here's a $25, a couple of $25 Koine Greek forms. Hugiai nouseis, didaskalias. Hugiai nouseis, didaskalias. And these two forms are very important to all of us. And I'm going to tell you what it means in a second. All right, but these two forms are extremely important to all of us sitting here. Turn to Ephesians 4, 10 through 16. And I pray to the Lord that, I thank Bob for his prayer, and I pray to the Lord that this important subject, he just uses this flesh that I have for whatever it is, and that this important subject might be spoken forth correctly. I really sincerely pray and hope that every time I'm up here, I do, because I know how important the Word of God is, and I know how important our calling is, and we want to get things correct according to the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4, 10 through 16. And this is how it reads. He that descended is the same also that ascended far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets, and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge, the acknowledgement of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto a measure, the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more infants, tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow unto him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Now, I'm not concentrating on verse 16, but someday I would like to. That's a mouthful, verse 16. It should be concentrated on what that is, and it should be broken down into the Koine and should be really spoken about because it's excellent. It's excellent what is being said by the Holy Spirit through Paul there as far as the body of Christ. But what I'm going to concentrate on is verse 14. That we henceforth be no more infants is the correct Greek form. Infants tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and the cunning craftiness whereby they lie await to deceive. The very serious and important question we can ask ourselves: wouldn't I have to understand sound doctrine to be able to discern and recognize the doctrine of the wind when it comes along? Wouldn't we have to know sound doctrine in order to understand false doctrine? Hugiai nouseis didaskalias, sound doctrine. That's what these two Greek forms mean. Sound doctrine. So my message today is, I put our sound doctrine, but it's actually, according to the speakers already that have come up here, the idea is the Lord's sound doctrine for us. Because we live in a day and a time where we are going to be bombarded with doctrines. And what I wanted to point out to you today is what the Apostle Paul met after he put forth the truth of the mystery and the doctrine, the sound doctrine that contained this truth, what his experience was quickly thereafter. Amazingly, hugiai nouseis, didaskalias, is found in only three New Testament books. Only three. And amazingly, they are Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. You don't find the English words or the Greek forms for sound doctrine anywhere else in the New Testament. Check it out. Sound doctrine. So, is this a coincidence? Or is it a directive? Is it a coincidence? Or is it a wake-up call? And I'm telling you that it is a wake-up call for us. Because it all makes perfect sense dispensationally. Because sound doctrine is extremely important today because of the message of the mystery where we are called to the right hand of God. It's extremely important. And so I think when we find it only in three post-Acts 28 epistles, the Holy Spirit is giving us a very important wake-up call. Because in order for you to know sound doctrine, you have to understand how God is working totally in the New Testament. You have to understand. You have to understand the Acts period. You have to understand the callings given there. You have to understand post-Acts 28 period. You have to understand the callings there. You have to understand what the Apostle Paul faced after the Holy Spirit gave him the message of the mystery. You have to understand the doctrines that were coming at him almost immediately. And so these doctrines are going to be coming at you. And the reason why that is because of the importance of this calling. It doesn't have anything to do with Israel. It doesn't have anything to do with the prophets. It was hidden God. And it's an awesome message. It's a glorious gospel. It's a glorious good message. And Satan is about to either destroy it, to pollute it, or to mix it up. That's a fact. And he's going to mix it up with other callings. He's going to destroy it. He's going to belittle it. He's going to demean it. And immediately we'll see that after Paul spoke this forth, you'll find that he was dealing with men that were doing just that. And that's what we're going to read about. Okay? Sound doctrine. Hugiai nousseis didaskalias. Only found in Titus and 1 and 2 Timothy. You could ask yourself the question, why isn't it found in the so-called Gospels? Why isn't it found in Acts period epistles? Ask yourself that question. And I think it lends to the fact that it's very important today for our calling to be sound so that you're not blown away and carried off by every wind of doctrine. And we can easily do that. You're no match for the evil one in your own flesh, but through the Lord you are more than a match for him. The theme of this conference is I can do all things, and what's important is through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, that's, you know, you could just read that off. Oh yeah, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, but it's more important and it's more of a directive that we stop. I can do all things through him, not myself. And myself can be taken down, can be diverted. My fleshly mind can be diverted. And that's why we're supposed to walk worthy. And this is more of a beware sort of thing in these days than ever before. You walk worthy. I've read in Romans to present yourself as living sacrifices, which is your reasonable service. Well, I believe that this goes along with this and is even a beware to that, because it's through Christ alone that you can do all things. And there's more than just the words through Christ there. It is a life. It's a walk. It's just not verbiage, if you understand what I'm saying. We can easily say it, but what it means is a lot different than just saying the words. Seriously. When you walk in Christ, you walk in his power. When you decide to walk under your own power, you are not being strengthened by the Lord. And therein is your battle. Therein is your battle. We fight a spiritual battle. We know about that. We're going to look into that. So, let's look at 1 Timothy 5, or 1 Timothy 5 through 20. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through what the Apostle Paul faced upon the putting forth of a calling that is fantastic, a calling that is not found in the Old Testament whatsoever. People say that. That's not a sound doctrine. If they say that, that is a confusing doctrine, along with others that are going around. That's a confusing doctrine, and it's a doctrine that is not well studied out to believe such a thing. So we have to be excellent students of the Word. 1 Timothy 5 through 20. When was 1 Timothy written? Was it written after A.D. 64? Yes. Some people think not. I think yes. When was 2 Timothy written? A.D. 68. How long did the Apostle Paul live putting forth the truth of the dispensation of the mystery? 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, maybe. And then, according to tradition, he was possibly beheaded. The nation of Israel, the temple and there, everything thereabouts was crumbled by the Emperor Titus in A.D. 70. So it's been thought that the Apostle Paul didn't live past that. So 1 Timothy, Titus, and 2 Timothy that we're going to concentrate on today were written certainly after A.D. 64. And I believe 2 Timothy was the last book written in the New Testament, probably around A.D. 68. And Paul was offered up quickly thereafter. So that's very important to know. 1 Timothy 5. 1 Timothy 1, I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 1, pardon me, 5 through 20. And I'm going to read through these things so that you get the picture of what Paul was dealing with. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and faith unfeigned, from which some having swerved. And I want you to get the gist of these words of the Holy Spirit through Paul. Now what the impact of this is shortly thereafter, not within months, within days, certainly not years and years, within a couple of years at most, this is what was happening, what Paul is talking about. From which some having swerved have turned aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law no less. He put forth how many truths during the Acts period, and then after Acts 28, he put forth truth concerning the calling of the mystery at the right hand of God, and still there were men that were desirous to be teachers of the law. And I could use the word bizarre. I could use the word bizarre. If I was the Apostle Paul and all of a sudden men came in and through two definite callings teaching it, and then after Acts 28, I was teaching the mystery, and men came in and wanted to be teachers of the law, which didn't save at all anyway. That would be bizarre. Right? I mean, get the picture of what he's facing. Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say, nor wherein of they affirm. They didn't know what they were talking about or why, on top of it all. All right? Get the picture. But we know that the law is good if a man uses it lawfully. And he goes on to say that the law is for murderers, whoremongers, etc., etc. And he goes on to say in verse 10, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, homosexuals, lesbians, you could throw in there, which, you know, I want to say this, it's permeating our entire world. And it's there, but we can mention it, and then that's it. Knowing what they do in private, it's not even right to speak about, the Apostle Paul says. But we know it's there, we know it's coming. We have to raise our families and teach them about the ways of the Lord more so than ever. But to concentrate on those things, it pollutes your mind. It does. It's a vexation for our minds and hearts to concentrate on the things that are going on out there, because we are not of this world. and we can have power to defend ourselves in it through the Lord. So I will mention that, but that's it. For perjured person, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, he goes on to say, according to the gospel, the good message of glory. It says glorious gospel, but it could be the gospel of glory. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with God. When Christ shall be manifested, ye shall also be manifested with Him in glory. Colossians 3:4. The good message of glory. Sound doctrine. Which was committed to my trust. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me and accounted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, is what the Apostle Paul says. Titus 1, turn there. Titus 1:7-11. Titus, written after Acts 28, probably around AD 66, 67. Some would disagree with that, but it's not too far off from that. Titus 1, 7 through 11. For a bishop, and you know these words, bishop and deacon, they have different meanings in the Koine Greek. The words bishop and deacon were probably thrown in there because of King James period times. They mean overseer, you know, men that, you know, so they're associated with an Anglican church or whatever is not scriptural. Look to the original Greek to get the correct slant on these words, so otherwise your mind will be bent into modern thinking, because these words were put forth by the Holy Spirit before AD 100. Are they old fashioned? No. Are they applicable to you and I as they were in AD 68? Yes. Is the Lord Jesus Christ old fashioned? No. Has this calling been said to be old-fashioned? Yes. If you can believe it. I heard that at one conference somewhere along the line. It goes on to say that a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine nor a striker, not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers, for there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for money's sake. This is happening in AD 68. 1900 years later, should we be surprised it's not continuing? No. But they can be dealt with sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? What is our sound doctrine? What is sound doctrine concerning the church, which is the fullness of the Son of God? This is something that we should be walking in all the time, every day, because this has to do with your armor. This has to do with your armor, sound doctrine, because these attacks will come from many places. We are surprised, and we have been surprised by human beings, and we will be surprised as time goes on until we're off the planet by things that come out of human beings concerning doctrine. We have a sound doctrine. We've been given a sound doctrine. It is your responsibility to protect your sound doctrine. It's not a game. It's not going to church on Sunday. It's your life, really. And you can be taken away, swept away, if you are not concentrating on the doctrine of the gospel of glory that was given to you. And don't make any mistake about it. It is very serious business. Serious. Very serious business. It is. Doesn't matter what we think about it, it is. Whether we choose to acknowledge that or not, that's up to us. It talks about, let's go back to 1 Timothy 1:18-20. Okay, this, what I'm trying to point out, what are you pointing out, Mike? I'm pointing out that within a matter of days, weeks, or months, this is what confronted the Apostle Paul. And if nothing else, know your sound doctrine, walk in your sound doctrine, put on the armor of God, and don't be surprised at what comes at you. If I haven't said anything, that's my message. Don't be surprised at what comes at you from human beings, even amongst your own household, amongst your own group. But know what your sound doctrine is, because then you'll know what you're hearing, if it's correct or not. Okay. Verse 18 of 1 Timothy 1. This charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare, holding faith and a good conscience, which some having put away concerning faith have made it shipwrecked, of whom is... Actually, there's no Y in the Greek, by the way. It should be Humenaeus, and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may not blaspheme. Shortly thereafter, after delivering the dispensation of the secret, Paul had men and women around him that were confrontational and that were very disturbing by what they were doing and saying. I don't know actually what it means to deliver one unto Satan. If you know what that is, let me know. I myself can't deliver anybody unto Satan. I wasn't taught how to do that. It's probably good. Amen. Thank you. Shake your head like this. Yeah, because I'm a vengeful type guy. And sometimes. But apparently, listen to this. Not only did he have teachers of the law amazingly around him, but now he had workers of iniquity to the point where they didn't want to hold the faith. They didn't want to hold a good conscience, as Ivan was talking about. They made the faith shipwrecked, and Paul had to go to the point of turning them over to the evil one. Now, that sounds pretty serious to me, all right? And you are of the same calling that Paul was, and you are of the same calling that he is of, all right? 1 Timothy 1. 11 through 2 Timothy 2:4. 2 Timothy 1. Turn there, please. 2 Timothy 1. Again, I'm stressing what came at the Apostle Paul. And see, to me, in doing this study, the teacher always gets the most benefit. And this really struck me. I said to myself, self. Yeah, it's not when you talk to yourself or when you answer yourself that you're nuts. It's when you say, "What did you say?" That's when you've gone over the top. All right. So I said, "Hey, Mike, I never realized how much havoc after Paul delivered this awesome truth, how much havoc he went through pretty quickly after doing so." 2 Timothy 1:11. "Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day." A popular song? Amen. But it has tremendous meaning. "Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwells within us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia, in Turkey, be turned away from me, of whom are Phugellus and Hermogenes." You're kidding, is my thought. As we go on, think about how many lives the Apostle Paul touched with his ministry. How many lives did he speak the mystery to? If he spoke it in Asia or in Turkey, it was certainly hundreds. That's where Ephesus is, a number of other cities, towns. That's where Asia, I don't know if Macedonia is included there. But think to yourself, put yourself in the position of the Apostle Paul, and think to yourself how many lives you have touched with the mystery, and then know that hundreds, I can bet on, have turned away, of whom are Phugellus and Hermogenes. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus while he was faithful." Always a faithful number. Always. That's how I look at us, by the way. Always a faithful remnant. Always. That's why the Lord picked you, because of your tenacity. And he knew every cell in your body before you were here. That's a fact. It's awesome, but it's true. "The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Not in the world, not in yourself, not in your job, not in your money, not in your family, not in your intellect, not in your talent. "Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou unto faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness." I don't like that. I don't want to. However form that comes in, I don't like it. "Thou therefore endure hardness." Are we any better than the Lord? Are we ever any better than any of the disciples? Are we any better than the Apostle Paul? Put your money where your mouth is, sons of God. That includes women out there in the audience today. Put your money where your mouth is. I claim to be a son of God. Endure hardness. Be a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man or woman that wars entangles themselves with the affairs of this life. Heavy statement. A heavy statement because it is your life's bent. No man that is a good warrior for your calling entangles themselves with the affairs of this life that he or she may be able to please him who has chosen him or her to be a soldier. To be a soldier. Entangling yourself in the affairs of this life could mean many things. You should study that out. But I think it means that it's your life bent. Your calling says to you, put your affections on things above. How do I do that? That's totally opposite of the human experience, isn't it? It's totally opposite of the human experience building in this world. For in the latter times, men shall be lovers of themselves, proud boasters, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, fierce, incontinent, disobedient. But as the world entangles itself with this life and becomes more seethingly evil, we are directed in our minds and our hearts not to put our lives there, because your life is hid with Christ and God. That is your life. And in a short, quick period of time, you will be manifested there. No doubt about it. We have people come and go. I mentioned that yesterday. Betty Scharf has come and gone. I love her. But she went, as many do, through this period of time, and we are not, we are directed to endure hardness because we are in these bodies. And it was a purpose that we were meant to be in these bodies in order that we might accept life. Life abundantly in our calling. So even though I don't like to endure hardness and I whine and moan and groan about what I have to do, I know that it's for an awesome purpose. And the Lord, if I keep my direction on Him, will help me through it. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 10. And I have a couple more scriptures to read. By the way, we're in a spiritual warfare. Okay, we're turning to 2 Timothy 1 through 10. So turn there, but keep your finger there and turn back to Ephesians. What is sound doctrine? What is your sound doctrine? What is sound doctrine concerning the dispensation of the mystery? You're supposed to know it. You're supposed to cleave to it. And you're supposed to live by its power. It'll teach you how to understand the working of the evil one through doctrines of demons, doctrine of men, false doctrine, doctrines of the winds that come and go, that sweep the ignorant and sweep the novice believer away. It happens. It's happening. It does happen. Very serious. You standing for the mystery is very serious. Doesn't matter if you speak it forth ever. If nothing else, I believe you're a witness to principalities and powers. Just by standing, by believing, and by fighting the good fight of faith and not being moved from sound doctrine. The Lord sees it. He knows it. You're a blessing to Him, if nothing else. Well, in Ephesians 6, it talks about taking the whole armor of God. And this is my one point. In verse 16, it says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. I'm going to make this point, that in the Koine Greek, it can be easily and more correctly translated fiery javelins from the evil one. If I lit up a dart and threw it at you, you'd get a reaction. If I lit up a javelin and I took some running steps and heaved it at you, there'd be a different reaction. All right? The temptations of the evil one are flaming javelins. They are not little dinky darts coming at you. And the point of my point of it is that that translation is equally correct, or more so, in the Greek. And if a flaming javelin is coming at you, it's heavy duty. It's heavy duty. They're not just plinking. Though Satan isn't just plinking at you. Plink, 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 plink. He's not plinking at you. He's hurling javelins at you. Spiritual warfare. Seriously. Put your money where your mouth is. This is what's happening. This is what causes people that do not have sound doctrine to go astray. Flaming javelins. And they can be put on a road where their doctrine is supposedly out of the Scriptures. That's interesting. It is. So the evil one can use the Scriptures, if I can say that, and produce unsound doctrines out of it. Beware of the flaming javelins. In my experience, that's what they are. They are not plinking little darts coming at you anymore. So part of this message is really beware, because it ain't funny and it's very serious what you have and what you're walking in. There's no doubt about that. Let's turn to 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 10. I'm almost done here. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 10. This you know, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce bracers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God, having the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. They also have perfect health. They have a lot of money. It looks like the world is at their feet. Read Psalm 73. I'm going to add that. For which of this sort they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge or the acknowledgement of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the truth. Reprobate concerning the truth. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifested unto all, as theirs was also. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, patience. Paul's doctrine was sound doctrine concerning the dispensation of the mystery. Turn to 2 Timothy 4, coming to the end here. But just get the picture of what Paul was facing. 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. for the time will come where they will not endure hugiai nuses didaskalias. The times will come where they will not endure sound doctrine, but after themselves, their own lusts, after their they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and be turned unto fables. Those fables and those doctrines that are comfortable to the flesh, I would add, that appeal to the flesh and to this life, I will add. No man or woman that wars entangles himself or herself with the affairs of this life. That means a lot of things. It moves into the, quote, religious world. It moves into the, quote, world of Christendom. The affairs of this life. Your calling is not on earth. Your calling is not connected with the earth. It's not connected with the earth at all, whatsoever. That is the glorious gospel. And you are chosen to walk in it and in its knowledge. And it's a selective choosing by God Himself. And as Ivan has said, he said that the backgrounds we come from were known by God Himself. They're all various. But we have the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by God Himself. That's why we love each other in sound doctrine. That's why we love each other. We don't know where each other came from. Who cares anymore? When Paul confronted believers, he said, I only want to know Christ in you. That's all I'm concerned about. Anything else is expedient. It's not worthy, really. We love each other. We can talk to each other about families and everything like that of this life. But importantly, it's what we have dwelling in us as far as the Lord's concerned, why we love each other. That's what brings us and solidifies us. That's why I want to talk about that joints and bands, because that is very important to talk about. Okay, verse 16. We're getting to the end of 2 Timothy 4. Okay, let's look at verse 14. Again, think about the Apostle Paul and what he faced after he delivered the message of the mystery. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. It's a possibility that Alexander was the one that turned Paul in to the authorities. He was a silversmith, I believe. He was a creator of idols. And Paul, in his preaching, constantly put this guy out of business. So he probably hated Paul's guts, and he probably turned Paul into the authorities. And the authorities put Paul in jail. Of whom, be thou aware also, for he has greatly withstood our words. It happened then, it's going to happen now. His words are words of sound doctrine. I believe I proved that today. Of whom be also aware also, for he has greatly restored our words. At my first appearance before the judge, no man stood with me, but all forsook me. Incredible. Nobody stood with him in the courts of Rome. Nobody. Now, imagine yourself being him and all of the hundreds and hundreds of people that you touch. Think about it. None of us have ever done this. Town to town, city to city, preaching, teaching, loving. And there was nobody there to stand with him. Think about it. Reel it in your head. the reality of that. The reality of that. Very lonely experience. But it goes on to say that the Lord strengthened Paul and brought him through that. I think we can learn from that. I think we can learn. It's going to be a lonely road sometimes. Not popular. Not popular with the Christian groups. Our doctrine is not. Our doctrine is sound, but it's not popular in this life. That's okay. Because the Lord will give you strength. And He will teach you things beyond your wildest dreams. And your calling is beyond imagination in the Son of God. Sound doctrine. I'm just going to read a little bit about our doctrine, and then I'll end. Okay? All right, Acts 4, 8 through 12. Acts 4, 8 through 12. What am I going back there for? I'm going to talk about the Lord. Acts 4, 8 through 12. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him, does this man stand here before you? For this is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Is that going to change? Will that ever change? Will that metamorphosize into something different? No, no, no. Sound doctrine. There is no other name under heaven except by the name of Jesus Christ by which we are saved. Is that going to change? No. "Did the church, which is the body of his fullness, of which he is head," according to Ephesians 1, 22 and 23, "begin at Acts 2? Did it begin at Acts 7? Did it begin at Acts 10? Did it begin at Acts 13? Did it begin at Acts 16? Did the callings that occurred during the book of Acts, are they applied to today? No, 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 and no. Is that ever going to change or morphosize itself into something different? No. At Acts 28, 23 through 28, what really happened there? It was the last quotation of Isaiah 6, 9, and 10. We should understand the prophecy of Daniel. Isaiah 6, 9, and 10 was quoted for the last time by the Apostle Paul, and it signifies the total rejection of the Godhead by Israel. The work of the Father, the work of the Son, the work of the Holy Spirit. And after that point, Israel as a whole, in totality, was set aside by God. Will that change or morphosize itself into anything as we go on? No, no, no. The Gospel of John, what about it? Does it talk about the Church of Jesus Christ's body, about the calling within the heavens? No. Is that going to change? No. Does it speak about salvation through the blood of Christ and possibly talk about a calling on the restored earth? Yes. Is that going to change? No. Are all people today that believe in Christ Jesus the Lord, are they members of the Church of Jesus Christ's body, which is a specific calling, even if they don't know it at all? No. Is that going to change? No. Are they given a calling by God even though they don't know it? No. There's no substantial doctrine in the Scriptures that would lead you to that conclusion whatsoever. It's not sound doctrine at all. God, who is the God of order, is not the God of the confusion of this world and of what is happening with His Scriptures out there. He gives calling specifically, and He gives you revelation to know your calling. Is that going to change? No. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. And I'm coming to the end. What is your sound doctrine? I've mentioned a couple doctrines weaving in there that have been put forth by people. Very enticing, very nice sounding, but are they sound doctrines? If they're not your doctrine, and they're changing your doctrine, or they're different than your doctrine, what are they? Are they right? Are you wrong? Where do you sit? Does God give you the power to be solid? Or are you in constant flux with your belief? Do we have sound doctrine as far as the mystery is concerned? Or can it change and warp into something different? No, it can't. And it won't. Because if you believe that it can, you're on shaky ground. And I believe that it's proven in the Scriptures. It's proven that way in the Scriptures. Sound doctrine doesn't vary and metamorphosize itself over the years. Are there things we can learn about our calling that we don't know today? Yeah. Sound doctrine, though, doesn't change. And it was given by the Apostle Paul before he died concerning the mystery, and it's solid. And that's what the Lord wants you to walk in. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12. No matter how unpopular it is, no matter how unappealing to the flesh it is, and human beings like to be clubby. They love clubs. They love to get together in clubs. Does it matter what you believe or think? No. Just as long as you belong in the club. Are there clubs in Christendom? Yes. Does it matter what you believe or know in them? No. Just as long as you belong. Now, is that doctrine from the God and Father of lights, the Creator of the universe, Christ Jesus? Is that how He wants us to be and walk in this tremendous calling? No. Not at all. Ephesians 3, 1 through 12, and I'll end with this. For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of grace of God, which is given to me to you word. Is the grace of God going to the world the mystery? No. Is it a mystery? Yes. If somebody says, oh, the mystery is the grace of God going out to the world, does he or she know the mystery? No. Can you be that blunt? Yes. Because the Apostle Paul was, and the Lord Jesus Christ was, as he walked. After the second admonition, you're supposed to reject the heretic. That's a rule of Scripture. Does that mean you hate them? No. Does that mean that you entertain their doctrine week after week after week to love them? No. You're asking for disaster. You're playing with fire. Because what? You're supposed to like them? Is that how the Word directs you? Sure, you're supposed to love them. Are you to entertain their doctrine, even though you know it's not true, week after week after week, because you want to show them that you love them? No. You reject their doctrine, and you tell them so. And why? That's the directive, I believe. If I'm wrong, you tell me. But what this does is this keeps you strong in sound doctrine. If you get turned away by humanistic feelings, you're going to be swept away. Unfortunately, God is not in the business of being cutesy and nice with human beings and giving them the power of pigeonholing him however they want to. That is not your God. And no human being, as meagerly as we are, has any right to do any of that. And human beings have been choosing to pigeonhole God and His truth as long as they've been here. What is sound doctrine? You better know it. We better know it, I should say. Not that I am anything. We better know it. Because if we don't know sound doctrine, we're going to be swept away. It can happen. It happens. Finally, he's going to end. Ephesians 3:1-12. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of grace, which is given to you, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which I wrote afore in a few words. By revelation. Some people have problem with that word revelation. The fact of the matter is that's the Greek koine form. Revelation. He reveals this to you. We spoke about what a mystery is. It's a truth that was hid by God until revealed. Has God revealed to you the truth that was kept hid from ages and generations? Hey, wake up. Yes, He's done it for you, no matter what your name is or who you are. That's what He's done for some reason to you and I. He's done it through revelation, through the Word of God. Whereby when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of man, as it is now revealed unto His holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of His promise in Christ by the good message, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power unto me, who am less than least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable or the untraceable riches of Christ. Christ isn't on the cross anymore. He isn't in the manger anymore. He is at the right hand of the Father, from which we can gain riches beyond compare. That's the fact of Christianity. That's what it is. The world would not have this, does not want it, does not want to seek it, does not want to be bothered with it, if you can imagine that. They don't want to be bothered with it because it interrupts their little lives. And to make all see what is the dispensation of their mystery, it's not the fellowship, which from the beginning of the world has been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Thanks very much for your time. And I ran over. I took a little bit out of your lunch. I'm sorry about that, but I felt that this was important. Thank you.